Well, welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Those are the great sounds of our next guest. Don Cinetti is in town. We borrowed him or got him as he came up through Sitka. Is that right? That's the story we're hearing from Kate Inge. He's also here from the Juno Libraries. Welcome, Don. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure
and
to be here.
Welcome, Kate. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing Don to town. And we're going to maybe get to hear a little bit more of you here in a moment. You got your banjo out already, so we might as well do it, right?
Yeah.
Kate, let's just talk first of all about what the program is here. What's happening? Don's in town to do a little bit of work for the Valley Library. Is that right?
Yeah. So as part of the NEA big read, we picked the book In the Heart of the Sea, and we've been doing a month of programming. And so we're kind of getting to the tail end of October, and we were able to grab Don. That grabbing is the wrong word, but as Don was flying to Sitka, we were able to have him stop over here for a couple day layover so he can do a concert tonight at the Valley Library at 6 o'clock.
And you were saying that you're in Connecticut, Mystic Seaports, where you call home, right?
That is correct.
Which is a beautiful, amazing, and historic area of the country. But you've been here in Alaska, you said 22 times.
Yes, exactly.
What brings you here? Tell me about your travels here. The Whale Fest in Sitka. Yeah.
The Whale Fest was 1 year old when I met Jan Straley. She was doing a program in Hawaii. It was called Whales Alive. And I was performing at that. And she says, "Would you like to come up to Alaska sometime?" I said, "Yeah, I always wanted to." And it's been, all these years later.
Yeah, that's great. Well, what a great tradition that's going there. Your work in the Mystic Seaport, tell me a little bit about kind of what you do there, what your sure. daily life is like there.
Sure. Yeah. It's a great place. We have the last of the whaling fleet there, the Charles W. Morgan. One time there were about 2,000 similar vessels, and she's the only one still afloat in the world. And I have the pleasure and honor of singing on board her. And I do what a shanty man would have done. It's a great, all these years, it's still a great thrill to actually see the sails go up as you're singing a halyard shanty, or the anchor coming up when you're doing a capstan shanty. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, this is what this music was meant to be doing, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Right. The rest of the crew is working hard, and all I have to do is sing.
But they appreciate having you on board, I'm sure.
Yeah, they said a good shanty was the equivalent of, if you're an average shanty man, maybe about 3 or 4 extra men on the line. But with a strong shanty man, it's like 10 extra men on the line.
Yeah. Part of the shanty is really to kind of, is it to time the work? Is that part of what's going on?
Absolutely. And get their mind off the how boring it is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And like pulling rigging, things like that are things that people need to work in unison. So if they have a beat going and they have music going, and
absolutely.
Is it typical that the sailors would know the songs and would be singing along as well? Or they're calling, give and take and stuff like that?
Yeah. There are two kinds of songs that were heard on board vessels. And they could actually be doing popular songs of the era, too. But the nautical ones were the shanties, which are a song like Tool. And some sailors would never sing shanties when they weren't working. They were a very superstitious lot. And to sing a work song when you're not working, the next storm is on your fault,
Right, right.
But there were ballads that they sang about their life at sea also. And most of the captains were crew-friendly enough to allow them to bring instruments on board, but it wasn't a given. Some were of the old school and were less likely to let them do that. But most of them realized that when you're out there for 5 years, you got to do something for fun.
Yeah, exactly. Is there a key to the music of shanty that da-na-na-na-na, that's the blues, right?
Right, right.
Is there a thing like that that's like a shanty has a certain rhythmic pattern, certain note patterns?
Yeah, yeah. You have to like you march around the capstan. While with the raising of sails, it's a hauling shanty. So the rhythm for those are very different. So you have to marry the rhythm and the right shanty for the job being done.
Can you give me an example? I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. Can you give me an example of one and then another?
I'll do, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they're a cappella, of course.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay. There you go. If you have Katie hold the banjo for a second. This first one I'll do is for raising the upper topsail on a square rigger. And it's about a sailor who was not highly regarded. And I will illustrate where the haul, I guess I won't illustrate it, where the hauls would be. And that's when they would pull on the line or go up some more and keep going up like this. And finally, there'd be a call of high enough, which meant the sail was set. It's easy to figure out where the hauls would occur. As a matter of fact, you can grunt, as a matter of fact.
Okay. I'll grunt.
Okay, you grunt.
You illustrate, and I'll grunt.
Yeah, when I do that, grunt. Okay,
I'll do it.
Ugh. Okay, here we go. You got it.
Yeah, okay.
Reuben Ranzo. A pity poor Reuben Ranzo. Ranzo, boys, Ranzo. Where's the crow?
I didn't know I was supposed to.
You're supposed to be a crow?
I was participate. Okay.
You're supposed to. Yeah, no. Why am I the only one grunting here?
Okay, sorry. Okay. Let's try this again.
Because we know of at least a couple cases where women dress as men to go to sea.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, so this there's a history to this. Yeah.
Okay.
A pity poor Reuben Ranzo, Ranzo boys, Ranzo. Oh, poor old Reuben Ranzo, Ranzo me boys, Ranzo. Now Ranzo wasn't a sailor, Ranzo boys, Ranzo. He was a Boston tailor, Ranzo me boys, Ranzo. Ranzo was no beauty, Ranzo boys, Ranzo. He couldn't do his duty, Ranzo me boys, Ranzo. That was the end of Ranzo, Ranzo boys, Ranzo. And eventually there's going to be a cry from a mate who's watching it go up, and he'll cry out, high enough. That meant the sail was set, and the shanty would end immediately. Oh. But the shantymen were the first rappers because they had to keep it going until that call was made, and they would improvise. You know, they would improvise the shanty.
Had to keep it rolling if it needed to
keep it rolling.
More. Yeah,
exactly. They were the first rappers.
And you said that was when you said it's a cappella course. I didn't know that. Why were they? They were a cappella just because they were these loud call outs. You wouldn't even be able to hear the banjo up on the top of the.
The last actual working shantyman on board a large ocean-going vessel was a man named Stan Hugel, and I was fortunate to become very close friends with him. And Stan, he wrote a number of books on the subject, and he said, "In the singing of the shanty, clarity and volume are of more importance than tonal beauty."
Right. So you're really just it's a call out.
Exactly.
So many musical traditions come from that. I mean, I think railroad songs, things like that are keeping time, right? Those are the same kind of thing that's happening.
Exactly.
There, right. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then the banjo. Does the banjo play into what was also on board? Is that a traditional thing that was?
Sure. It was not uncommon. A kindly captain would call dog watches. The dog watch was usually on a pleasant day, and the crew was allowed to break out the instruments. They'd have to mend their gear because their mother's not with them, you know.
Yeah, right.
And they would write. This is when they would write in their journals. So important. We think of many of the top ship sailors were not educated, and they didn't have journals. But some of them were highly educated. And thank goodness, their journals are the best window into life on board these vessels. The logs are just the record of the voyage. But it's the journals that add all of the color, the flesh of the critter, so
yeah,
to speak.
Right, right.
And, you know, you think Melville, you know, all these people mm-hmm. that went to sea that were educated, and it was the adventure of the era.
Yeah.
Like
exploration.
Like an astronaut.
And, yeah, would be right, over, right, you know, right.
Yeah.
And were some of these, some of the whalers that were sailing out of the area where you live, were some of them ending up in Alaska waters as well?
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Because the Bowhead in particular brought them that far up. And they have to go around Cape Horn. And then they might whale in the Polynesian Triangle for a while, Marquesas, then up to up off Hawaii, and then even up to the Arctic to hunt bowheads.
And the main product was oil for light. Is that correct?
There were multiple products actually, and the blubber oil was used for that. But the sperm whale really became the whale to hunt because it had spermaceti oil in its head case, which that smokeless candles were made for that. But we still don't have an oil that is equal to spermaceti oil. It's used in space probes even now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But some sperm whales also had a substance. Yeah, sperm whales eat giant squid, and a giant squid beak irritates the digestive tract of the whale, and a waxy substance forms called ambergris, or they used to call it gold because it was that color, and it was used as a fixative in perfumes.
Wow,
it was incredible value.
Oh, very.
And from whales like the bowhead, of course, the baleen plates were used for corset stays, buggy whips. All of those kinds
right.
of things.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Well, can you treat us to a banjo tune?
Sure.
As well?
Sure.
That'd be great to hear that as well. Sure. We'd love to hear that.
So this would be the kind they would be singing during their break, so to speak, okay? But it involves whaling. It goes like this. The cove will rant and will roar like true Yankee whalemen. We'll rant and we'll roar like two Yankee whalers. Rant and we'll roar on deck and below until we sight Gay Head on old Martha's Vineyard. Straight up the channel, gonna Bedford we go. Now my name it is Robert and they call me Bob Pittman. I sail on the Ino with Skipper Tim Brown, and I'm bound to have Polly or Biddy or Molly if ever I'm able to plank the cash down. We'll rant and we'll roar like true Yankee whalemen. Rant and we'll roar on deck and below until we see Gay Head on old Martha's Vineyard. Straight up the channel, gonna Bedford we'd go. Farewell to the gals of old Takahana. Farewell to the maidens far off Maui. Hey, let you be jolly, don't be melancholy. Can't marry you all, or I'm choky I'd be. We'll rant and we'll roar like true Yankee whalemen. Rant and we'll roar on deck and below until we sight Gay Head on old Martha's Vineyard. Straight up the channel, gonna Bedford we go.
All right. That was great. All right. I feel the briny sea. Right? Just rocking back and forth a little bit there. Well, thank Kate. Tell folks how they can see Don and what's happening tonight.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Tonight, Don's going to be at the Valley Public Library at 6 p.m., and we're going to have a concert, and it's going to be a lot of fun, so I hope everybody can come by.
Well, it's been a lot of fun.
And see Don in action.
Yes, it's been a lot of fun meeting you, Don. Thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you, my pleasure.
Sharing your music and your history and your knowledge about the whaling history with us. It's been great to meet you.
Likewise.
All right. Well, have a great night tonight. That's Don Cinetti again, folk singer, historian, by way of Mystic Seaport, and all the way here, as the old sailors used to come, all the way into the waters of Alaska.
That's right.
Thanks so much for coming. Appreciate it. Have a great night tonight.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.